Community Matters. Solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference.
Hey, it's Megan from The Morning Show on Your Encouraging WPER. Welcome to another edition of Community Matters. This week, we are highlighting two interviews, both of which are still focusing on some of the outlying effects of the coronavirus pandemic that we continue to face. The first interview is with Sue Peschen, President and CEO of the Alliance for Aging Research, on the work they are doing to enact policy change for Medicare Part D within Congress, specifically targeting the rising out-of-pocket expenses for prescription medication. So, Sue, welcome to the show. I'd love it if you could just give us a little bit of background on what the Alliance for Aging Research is and does.
We're a nonprofit organization located in Washington, D.C., and our mission is to promote research as a way to enhance aging and health. And we do that through both public policy and health education. We work on a whole variety of age-related issues. And the issue of drug pricing, in particular, is really at the front of everybody's concerns right now. So we started a campaign called Project LOOP, which stands for Lowering Out-of-Pocket Costs.
Now, let me ask you, just on that front, how bad really is it for people that you are dealing with to get access to the medication that they need? How bad is the pricing situation?
Well, it really impacts a lot of people, and it's not as much about the pricing of the medications themselves per se, as much as the amount that folks are responsible for paying out of their own pockets. And more than 47 million older Americans, and by that I mean older adults, 65 and older, get their prescription drug coverage through the Medicare program, and it's called Part D. And even before the pandemic, we did a survey, and one in five reported that they had trouble paying for their prescription medication.
Wow.
And some would even stop taking a needed medication due to the high cost that they had to pay out of pocket. So you add a pandemic on top of this, and the pandemic doesn't stop for things like cancer, heart disease, diabetes. So folks are dealing with their medications that they take to maintain the conditions that they currently have. And then if they end up coming down with COVID, they may have thousands of dollars in additional out-of-pocket costs.
So tell me a little bit about Project LOOP. What specifically are you hoping to enact change in?
So there's two things that we want to see happen by Congress. One is to set an annual limit on the amount of costs. Like, just let's create a wall. People don't have to pay more than, say, $2,000 a year. That's what the House passed as part of their drug pricing legislation. The Senate passed something similar in one of their committees, not in the full Senate, but in one of their committees, to set a limit at $3,100 a year. So we want to set an annual limit, because right now there is no annual limit. And even those amounts can be high for folks on a fixed income. The second thing we want to do is make sure that there's a smoothing mechanism. So what that means is a way for folks to spread those costs out throughout the year rather than being hit all at once. A lot of people have deductibles that they have to pay at the beginning of each plan year, so $500, $1,000, before their coverage even kicks in. And that can be a lot to have to pay all at once in the month of January, right after the holidays. Mm-hmm.
What progress are you seeing so far with Project LOOP?
Well, Congress was doing great before the pandemic, and we're trying to keep the issue on their radar screen. We actually just sent a letter up to the Hill that was signed by 50 national organizations, a lot of health and provider groups, patient organizations, trying to say, you know, hey, consider these issues as you're looking at unemployment issues, as you're looking at education. Make sure healthcare costs are still on the radar screen. Not sure that it's going to get into this COVID relief package. They're having, as everybody knows, a lot of a debate and drama around this one. Mm-hmm. But there is an issue that Congress has to deal with at the end of the year around Medicare that they deal with each year. And we're hoping that that'll be an opportunity to raise these issues again and for them to put this in that package and just for once and for all set a limit for older adults.
Now, I have no doubt that we have many listeners who are impacted by this specific situation, this specific issue. But is there anything that our community at large can do to help the efforts of Project Loop?
Sure. Please visit us at loweroutofpocketcosts.org. You can send us an email at info@agingresearch.org if you have a story that you want to share with us. And our regular website is agingresearch.org. You can get a lot of information there for free. And please visit us, use us as your resource. We really want folks to be in touch with their members of Congress, tell them these issues are important to them, not to lose sight, and to get something done on this very important issue.
And I'd like to go back to the statistic that you shared, because that's pretty big. 1 in 5 older adults before the pandemic were struggling to meet those out-of-pocket costs. How much more significant do you think that struggle is now that we are in the middle of this pandemic?
It is much more significant because, as you know, older adults are disproportionately impacted by COVID-19. And so while the testing and services related to testing are completely paid for by Medicare and Medicare Advantage, if you're diagnosed, any care that you receive following that is subject to out-of-pocket costs. Mm-hmm. So if you have to go to the hospital, if you end up in the ICU, or if you even have in-person or telehealth visits related to COVID-19 or nursing home care, those are all subject to out-of-pocket costs. And the vaccine that we're all hoping for, that'll be completely covered and paid for. And everybody needs to get that as soon as it's ready. But any type of medications to treat the virus, so if you're in the hospital or you're at home and you've gotten sick, those are right now being researched. And once those get approved, those will be subject to out-of-pocket costs as well.
For those who are struggling with affording out-of-pocket expenses, is there anything that they can turn to you for resources on? Like when they visit your website, are there resources that they can reach out to help them through the situation? Or are you really just focused on enacting policy change?
We're focused on enacting policy change, but we're happy to help direct people to patient assistance programs,
right,
which we partner with quite a bit. And there are assistance programs that people can apply to help get some relief.
Awesome. Sue, thank you again for joining us. And again, that website is agingresearch.org to find out more about the work that they are doing or just to find the resources that Sue was talking about. So now for our second interview, we're speaking with Ali Bon. She is the Global Outreach and Education Coordinator for Global Allergy and Asthma Patient Forum. She's discussing today the concerns that parents and teachers alike are facing for the coming school year in regards to asthma and food allergies, and how those concerns may be a little bit different this year than compared to usual because of the coronavirus pandemic. So Ali, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show. Could you just tell us a little bit about Global Allergy and Asthma Patient Forum, specifically what you guys do?
An umbrella organization that's global, where organizations all over the world dealing with asthma, allergies, and other airway diseases are part of our network and share education and other resources.
Beautiful. And I know that as we're heading into the school season, one of the number one concerns on parents' minds is the safety of their kids, whether they're even going to send them back to school. And I understand that you focus very specifically on the allergies, the asthma, that side of things. So can you talk to me a little bit about what concerns you are addressing or that your organization is addressing for the parents?
Sure. So this year we know is going to be a unique school year due to COVID-19. So, you know, many are going to be facing non-traditional classrooms and environments. So we really continue to recommend to be as prepared as possible. Just like in another school year, it's always important to be prepared for any allergic emergencies, you know, whether you're dealing with students that are, you know, preschool age all the way through high school, being prepared is always essential. So as parents are getting ready to send children back to school, it's important that, you know, there's really 3 key steps that they need to follow. Having an anaphylaxis emergency plan in place, And making sure that the school is aware of that, having epinephrine auto injectors on hand to bring to school, and then also making sure that there's communication between the teachers and administrators and school nurse, and that everybody is aware of what to look for in case of an allergic reaction or emergency.
So as we're entering into a different type of school year, then why would you say that there are any more concerns associated with allergies, asthma, things like that because of COVID-19? Like how is that making things more concerning for this fall?
Well, in particular, the CDC has recommended that students are eating inside of their classrooms this year. So bringing their lunch to school and eating socially distanced at their desks. And so this, you know, adds a bit of a new challenge because, you know, students could have food allergens in the classroom. However, making sure that there's a plan in place, making sure that, you know, auto injectors are in hand and that teachers are comfortable with how one would be used, and just, you know, being prepared is going to still make that, you know, a safe environment. So just being aware of any of these changes so that students, teachers, and, you know, parents can be prepared.
So for parents in general, what are some things that they can keep in mind, not just for their own children, but when they consider the classroom at large that their kid is going to be in? What are some things that parents can be considering before they send their kid off to school?
Yeah, parents want to, you know, make sure that they have, you know, had their child have a wellness visit with their physician, allergist, and make sure that they're up to date on their anaphylaxis emergency plan before going back to school so that, you know, if any updates need to be made to that. And then also making sure that they have any refills that they need of epinephrine auto injectors to go back to school, just being prepared ahead and then being able to go to school with a plan. So meeting with teachers ahead of time so that they are aware of the child's allergens and just what the precautions they need to take in the classroom to keep their child safe.
Are there any concerns that because of coronavirus that less parents will be more likely to take their kids in to get those checkups?
You know, that has been reported. The American Academy of Pediatrics had reported a drop in well visits. Mm-hmm. However, you know, guidelines were released that telehealth appointments are a great way to, you know, still have those visits, even if, you know, parents don't feel comfortable going in person. And then they can still, you know, talk to their doctor about any, like, annual refills that they need for epinephrine auto injectors. And, you know, if they're concerned about, you know, going to these visits, they can also get, you know, an epinephrine auto injector like Auvi-Q that is mailed right to your doorstep. So they don't even have to, you know, go to a pharmacy or anything. It's, you know, dropped right there at their house.
So using a telehealth then option, that may not even be something on parents' radars for those wellness visits. So that's a really good resource to be aware of. And do you know on the side of how parents can connect with that? Like, is that just straight through their health provider?
Yes, they should be able to reach out. You know, everybody's plans are different, but, you know, reaching out to the providers that they have and finding out what the options are would be a great step.
So for teachers then, as far as they're concerned and making sure that they have these auto injectors in their classroom, that they're prepared to deal with any emergencies if they arise. Do you guys have any tips, resources for teachers to be prepared in case that there's an emergency, or any recommendations even of training that teachers should go through?
Yeah. So, you know, there's great resources at Auvi-Q.com. That's Auvi-Q.com. There are resources. There's also, you know, a trainer, for example, comes with epinephrine auto injectors like Auvi-Q. So it actually has voice activation and walks you through those steps. So a teacher can, you know, practice with the trainer so that they know in an emergency exactly what to do. Then the actual auto injector will walk you through those steps in case of an actual emergency. So, you know, that's something that I know, you know, a lot of teachers feel much more comfortable with if they've, you know, gone through those training steps and already know ahead, you know, what they would have to do in an emergency.
So there is something about the US FDA issuing temporary guidance that could impact food labels. What in that particular news bulletin do we need to be aware of? Is that something that parents need to be looking out for as they're getting food for their kids for school?
Yeah, no, there has been, you're right, there has been temporary guidance about food labeling, and, you know, that is due to just disruptions in the food supply chain because of the pandemic. And so it's, a temporary labeling guidance. Hopefully, that will change as things unwind. But for now, it's always important to be checking labels. And that's something, any food allergy family is aware of doing on a daily basis anyway, whether there's, a supply issue or not, or a change in labeling. Always checking labels and even, packages you're familiar with, reading them every single time is always important during pandemic or just in general.
Awesome. Allie, well, thank you for your time and for speaking with us today, because I know we have a lot of parents and teachers concerned about back to school. So this is very helpful. Is there anything else that you'd like to say before we close?
I think just making sure to check out those resources, like I mentioned, avq.com, and making sure that you go into the school year with a plan is just, so important.
Great. Thank you. And again, for more information on Allie or on the Global Allergy and Asthma Patient Platform in general, you can visit their website. That's GAAPP.org. Again, GAAPP.org, GAAP.org. And you can find out more information about the work that they're doing. Thank you once again for joining us on Community Matters. I hope that you and your family have an amazing day, and tune in again right here for more helpful interviews and insights on your encouraging WPER.